God of glory, Lord of light, angels lifting praise before you, sing throughout this holy night. In a manger lies a baby, child of Mary, Son of God. Voices joined in joyful chorus praise you for your gift of love. You all out there, you may be seated for this if you like, but Bennett Knott's family, not Bennett Leppel, he's hunting pheasants in South Dakota now. I think Brenda just forgot that there were two Bennetts in our church. They're going to light our candle of hope this morning, so go ahead. Oh, by the way, we don't respond to this one. It's in the Sundays to come, so it's all yours.
During Advent, we are invited to open ourselves to God's seeking, active spirit. Like Mary, we can ponder what God says to us in Scripture. The busyness of the world is stilled. We pay attention, trust in God's promises, and wait together in joyful anticipation. We enrich our Advent worship with an Advent wreath, four colored candles placed around a wreath with the white Christ candle in the center of the circle. Each week we will light another candle, increasing the light in the world. On Christmas Eve, we will light all five candles representing the coming of Jesus, the light of the world. Come, let us begin our Advent journey together. Let us prepare our hearts, minds, and bodies to receive the seed of the Holy Spirit and to nurture God's word this season. At this time, we will light our first candle, the candle of hope.
Romans 5, verse 2 through 5. Through whom we have obtained faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
How can we prepare to receive God this first week of Advent? What thoughts or habits keep you from discerning God's invitations? I invite each one of you here to think of one habit or thought that is keeping you from noticing God at this time. Let us pray. God of mercy, receive our burdens. We release these to create space in our hearts for you. Thank you that you desire to make us your sanctuary. Come, Holy Spirit, amen. Let us sing Light One Candle.
And your family, Zach, Sarah, and of course Addie. Now that you got comfortable sitting, you could pass God's peace where you are, but I always like to come down here, and you might like to stand up too and pass God's peace. Pleased to see it. See, there's more than I thought would be here today. Let it go. I hope everyone who did get out on the road is safe. And 9 probably wasn't as good as 22. And of course, the interstate was pretty well. We just had to drive a little slower, right? And Let's see, there's some things I should point out. I know, I've forgotten one of them. Somebody had a birthday yesterday. Who is that now? Oh, yeah, Chris, how could I forget that? And little did I know that when you, it was yesterday when you texted me and said, no, that was on Thanksgiving Day, yes, and said, Happy Thanksgiving. And now we say happy birthday to you, belated, right? But Orville's is today, right? Well, happy birthday to you. You want to sing? Happy birthday to you, dear friends. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friends. Happy birthday to you. All right. What was that? I heard a voice. I don't know what the voice said, though. Anyway, any other joys and concerns? Yes.
So, I mean, if you have two households under a roof, take two, of course. So, anyway, enjoy. They actually start tomorrow. It's 1st through the 25th of December. So, hope you enjoy them. They're a gift from the worship committee.
Glennis and I have already been enjoying them, or one, the one we have. In fact, you're going to hear a little bit more about that in my sermon today. Other joys, concerns? Thank you, worship committee, for some of you are on that, right? Yeah, good. And they're free for the taking, or there was a little, okay, yeah. That's right, the worship committee, you work by the hour, don't you? Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. The hour of power, the hour of prayer. And they do a wonderful job of picking out our hymns and songs. And I rely almost on them to guide me as to how I should focus more, because I need to be focused. Other joys and concerns? I have one. I guess it's a concern, but in a way, of course, a man who lived a wonderful life as a pastor for many years, and I know that you knew or met Eliezer from the Dominican Republic. He's been here and he's preached before, but it's his dad who was a pastor all his life. And Dave Prain alerted me to his passing yesterday. And I'm going to try and pull this up because he sent a little text message. See if I can get it here. Yes. Come on. Should be able to. Okay, oops. There it is. It's a picture of him. And Eliezer wrote this little message about his dad, who was Juan de Leon, and he was hospitalized in the Dominican Republic for a short while, and he died of an illness. But here's what his son wrote from Eliezer. Today my heart is mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. My beloved father, Juan de Leon, has gone to be with the Lord. Gone is a man who dedicated his entire life to serving. Pastor, teacher, counselor, and a true faithful servant of Christ. His life was an example of love, surrender, and obedience to God. Although it hurts today, I also embrace the hope of knowing that you are in the presence of the Father. And he's, as this is to his Father on earth here, who has passed, receiving the rest and the crown that he promised to those who love him. Thank you, Dad, for your teachings, for your prayers, for your example, and your legacy will remain forever in our lives. To God be all the glory. And there's a picture of him here. And I can pass this around, I guess. I think it's his father. Of course, we all knew Dave pretty much. He's gone to the Dominican Republic many times. And Eliezer, how many got to see him when he was here? Oh, what, 4 or 5 years ago? A few hands, yeah. And he preached that day, and I'll never forget that. There's an enthusiasm there. And you could tell his dad had that, well, he got that from his dad, who was very enthused about preaching and teaching about the good news in Christ. Other joys and or concerns? Oh, shoot, we forgot to ask how old you guys are, Orville. And, just kidding. Well, let's go ahead. Our reader was, Barb actually hadn't signed up to read the scripture today. I guess Brenda and I just assumed, we'd been going back and forth with James and Barb and James and Barb for a few months now. But it's still available for people to sign up out there. James, I asked then, if since Barb couldn't make it, and he was going to do it, but then got a text from him early this morning saying they were snowed in where they are, and I can completely understand that. It's kind of a, their farmhouse is north of Young America, and it's in kind of a little hollow there, and you can see it's where a place they collect a lot of snow. But I asked Peggy if she'd read scripture today, and you're going to do that? We could do that first. Good point. James usually calls my attention to follow the bulletin, so thank you for saying that. Call to worship. Join me in this now. Awaken to a season of anticipation. God is offering peace within and among us. How good it is together in God's house. God draws us together for this time of worship. God calls us to celebrate our diversity. Differences shall no longer divide us. We want to see one another through God's eyes. We will look for the good in our neighbors, see the highest and the best for each other. Come to the mountain of God's love. We will follow in the path where God leads. Our ears are open to hear God's instructions. A prayer on the next page. Join me in praying by saying, you have awakened us from sleep and led us to this place, wondrous God. Now let us feel your presence with us as we encounter your word. Surely you have blessed us. You have drawn us together and bound us firmly to one another. You give thanks for giving us an identity as relatives and friends through Jesus Christ. In this season, we remember your unexpected appearance among us in the birth of a child. You make yourself known to us again and again. May we know you now. So be it. Let's sing, O Come, All You Faithful, 249. Come, all you faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of ages. O come, let us adore. O come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Oh, sing on you bright hosts of heaven above. Yes, indeed. O come, let us adore him. Now, Peggy comes, finding out this morning, calling her to read two passages of Scripture, one, of course, from the prophet Isaiah, and one from Paul, who wrote to the Romans.
First reading is Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except for God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and lasciviousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Thus ends our readings.
Thank you, Peggy. Now, but not yet. I think originally the saying was already, but not yet. Maybe some changed it to now, but not yet, describes this Advent season. We sang, come and let us adore him. Worship committee picked out two hymns that have to do with the idea of coming and worshiping God. For as Peggy read, salvation is near. We sing, come, Lord Jesus. Come, all ye faithful. O come, Emmanuel. Meaning, God is with us. So, you could say almost that God is here now with us. Why say, come, be with us? What we're really saying is we want more of the one who is the more, God. Come all who are weary. We do get weary. But you've heard the word Maranatha or Maranatha? A couple heads nod, meaning come Lord Jesus. We always started our prayer off around the dinner table when I was growing up. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let, we said, these gifts to us be blessed. Some say, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let this food to us be blessed. Come. But when will there be the more that seems to be described in the readings, especially from Isaiah? That kind of, when nations will not war against each other, swords will be beaten into plowshares, be no more fighting, quarreling, varying opinions about it. Books have been written describing exactly how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. But they're all agreed that it has to be after the rapture. And you know what I mean when I say the rapture? When will he come? Well, I'm going to read the passage of scripture from Thessalonians. And somehow it got to be called the rapture. Here in my New Revised Standard Version, it's called The Coming of the Lord. Paul writes, once again, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, then, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. I hope you're encouraged by that. Maybe you're also troubled as to, when is that going to happen? How is it going to happen? You know, I might have told you this story before, but it's so impressed on my mind to share it with others. I remember the day, oh gosh, it's maybe 20, 25 years ago, can't remember exactly when now. The news was all over the United States. Someone had predicted the day when the rapture would come. And took it with a grain of salt, I guess. You know, this has been predicted many times over the centuries. This so-and-so and you know, Jesus said, no one knows, but still, some people say that they knew, and this was all over the news. And Glennis and I were out at her cabin on West Battle Lake at the time. Did I tell you this story? Hearing no affirmatives to the thing, I'll share. And so we heard this on Saturday. It was around town. And this was before cell phones. We didn't even have a radio or a television set. But we knew that Sunday would be the day when the Lord, I think it was sometime in August. The weather was very nice. We got up that morning without too much thought of all the news about the rapture was going to happen. Some would be taken away, you know, some left behind. And we got in the car to go. We're going to go to church in Battle Lake. Nothing was moving in the neighborhood. All in that road where there were a couple dozen cabins. Nothing was moving. Got out on the highway, about 3 miles into Battle Lake. Didn't see a car moving. Got into town. You know, it's usually quiet on a Sunday morning, isn't it, in places? But nothing moving, no cars, no people walking. And so we drove up to where we had gone to church the week before. It was in the basement of a city building. And it was a group that was meeting together. They were wanting to form another church. So that should be interesting. And our only other options were a Baptist and a Lutheran, so... No, I'm just kidding. But we were curious as to who these people were. But we pulled up, and I walked up to the church, locked, or to the door, to the basement, locked. Still had not seen anyone move. Nothing move. No birds. Nothing. And so we start to think, what is going? Has the rapture happened? And are we left behind? Could this really be true? We waited in the car for maybe another 15 more minutes. And then a woman walks up, takes a key, unlocks the door. And so I went, it's past time. And she says, oh, we're not meeting here today. We've decided to go to the new Lutheran church in town. So I said, well, we'll go there. And by golly, that was a lot of people around. So we're still thinking like this. Well, not only did Glennis and I get left behind, but all the Lutherans did too. But after we worshiped a while, and we began to see, yeah, why would God leave these people behind? You know, we're praising God, we're hearing the scriptures. These are good folks. Why wouldn't they be raptured away? And I can understand why Glennis and I would be left behind, but it didn't come to pass. This rapture. I've been reading a book lately. It's called The Golden Age. Fellow's last name is Jeremiah. And he's got it all laid out of what's going to happen when Jesus is going to come back then after the rapture and set up a kingdom and all will come, you know, quite detailed. But he doesn't know, and we'll admit it, he doesn't know when this rapture is, when these ones will be taken away. So Glennis and I went to another book. It's a little booklet. Recognize it? It's the one that Anne talked about. It's called Joy to the World, Daily Readings for Advent by John Piper. And he's a founder and a teacher of a group called DesiringGod.org. He's a chancellor of Bethlehem College and Seminary for 33 years. He served as pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis and is the author of more than 50 books. So I started looking at it first, and I just thought I'd share just a little bit of this with you. It's got your permissions and where he got a lot of his material, table of contents. And I love these little books, don't you? Kind of hold them in your hand, take them with you wherever you go. And he's got a preface. And here's this sentence in here. The English word Advent, quote, unquote, is from the Latin Adventus, which means, guess what? Coming. Then he goes on to, I didn't have my glasses on, so I made a mistake, and see if you can tell which mistake I'm going to make initially. Christians throughout the world, he goes on, have their different ways of celebrating Advent. Some light candles, some sing songs, some eat candles. Glennis, she heard me reading this out loud, and she laughed. They don't eat the, and so I looked at it more closely, and it says some eat candies. But if you can see, candies looks a lot like the word candles. So while I was trying to picture what it's like to eat a candle, she points out it's not candles. But going on, some give gifts, some hang wreaths. And I take this opportunity to say, my breath was taken away when I walked in the sanctuary this morning with the lights and the poinsettias and the candles up there and up there and the banners of joy, joy, joy and everything. It just took my breath away. Thank you for those that decorated the tree and all you've done to lift our spirits, that we might celebrate joy, that we might come and adore him. Speaking of that hymn, Come and Adore Him, did you realize that that song was originally written about 300 years ago, and it was written in Latin. And sometimes I like to sing Veni Ti. Veni Te, oh, what's the word? I wrote them down here. I like to sing it in Latin. Venite adoremus, venite adoremus, venite adoremus, Dominum. Which translated means, oh come, let us adore him, Christ, the Lord. This little red book, and it's not, I hope it isn't little red, I mean, not red very much, R-E-A-D, but I hope you'll pick one up, or two, and go through it. It's got some good stuff in it. I went into, and I started reading the introduction, so I guess I'm doing all right yet. I'm not getting ahead too far. But he points out that this Advent time can be an adventure, trying to get to know God more and to become closer to God. But the thing that caught my eye the most, and it seems so obvious, and sometimes we ask children this question when they come forward. So you want this for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? And so forth. And then sometimes we'll say, but what does Jesus want for Christmas? It's kind of the theme of this little booklet. What does Jesus want for Christmas? And I would think that Jesus would want us to be ready, to go about our daily tasks, not to sit and twiddle the thumb to wait for when this rapture is going to happen, not to feel that we're safe, whether we're dead or alive, we'll be taken up, but that we'll go about our daily work and our daily play, be a little more kinder at times, more gentle, more questioning what is truth, question that Pilate had. And then I thought of the scout oath. Bennett, when I was your age, went to something called the Boy Scouts. Now it's not Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, it's simply Scouts. And I don't know if they still have them, but we had the 12 points of the Scout Law, it was called. And I think I could remember them. Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Did I get 12? Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Aha, I get a badge for that. No, just kidding. Character face, to work on the one who put himself into us in a way, because Jesus said also, not being raptured away, being taken away from this or that, being having to come to church to experience Jesus, but that the kingdom of God is within us, right? A couple days ago, I was sitting before the TV, and I love to surf. We got the Nuvera, which they're getting here, I guess. And it's got a lot more channels, and I discovered some new channels. I was up past the 200s into the late 200 channels, and I think it was maybe 276 or something like that. And here's a picture of a whole bunch of men dressed in robes. And they were walking in a procession to this body of water. And I think it was either the ocean or a big lake in Turkey, where the Pope was scheduled to appear. And there I saw him. He had a little white cap, you know, how they wear, and some red caps of the cardinals and other different gowns and vestments. And Pope Leo made a speech. And I really like Pope Leo. He says the good news. He preaches the gospel. Be kind to one another. Be compassionate. Feed the hungry. Take in the poor. Be inclusive. God's love is for everyone. Stuff like that. Things that we preachers preach every Sunday. But then he got up to make his speech. And then it became aware on me that they were celebrating something that happened back in 325 in the life of the church. 1,700 years ago, it was called the Nicene Council, where church leaders from all over the Roman Empire met at that time to try and clear up the picture that was about who Jesus really was. You know, some were saying he wasn't really God in the flesh. He was a good teacher, but not God in the flesh. In fact, maybe that was just a figment of someone's imagination. Or maybe, oh, he rose from the dead? I don't think so. You know, the body could have been stolen. And the evidence that he was alive after that, isn't that strong? And I mean, there's all these different theories about who Jesus was. But they all came to an agreement. And they put it down. It's an affirmation of faith. And they call it the Nicene Creed. We say many creeds in this church. We have the 2 and 3 versions of the United Church of Christ Statement of Faith. We do the Apostles' Creed. And this came much later, and they were celebrating the birthday 1,700 years ago. Did you get it in your bulletins? The Nicene Creed. Usually the fourth and fifth Sundays, we don't do a creed of any kind, but I thought we could do this one together before we do our Christmas carol song again. So let's say together that we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made for man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures, and he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. And with the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. And I think that creed is still said today in Catholic churches and probably others' churches as well. Let's sing. O come, Emmanuel, the one who is with us now. 245. God, gracious and mighty, full of mercy and compassion, thank you for forgiving our stumbles, our ways that sometimes lead to destruction, death. Oh God, we think of, how can we not think of terrible things, horrendous, evil things, shootings? Someone takes their own life. Someone shoots someone to make a point. I don't know. Help us to be aware of each other. And I still remember the time when Tom Lipple said, if you see something, say something. Maybe there's someone who's estranged, is off by him or herself, doesn't have any reason to live. Be with us. Our work is not done with you and for you. May you know that you're working and playing with us. So hear us as we pray this prayer that you taught us through Jesus to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind, we sing. O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice. Standing, we sing, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Join me in a prayer. Which is printed in your bulletin, to say, thank you, God, for the privilege of sharing your bounty with those in need. Thank you for prospering our work and witness. We seek to walk in your light and follow the pathways where you lead. We want to share the good news of salvation through these gifts and by the way we live. May all your people be made ready for Christ's coming. Amen. We give thee but to thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is yours alone, our trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. And for our third O Come song, hymn, let's sing 244, Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. Share this with you. You know, I watched that episode of MASH this week, And MASH is moving out because the enemy's coming. And Colonel Potter's on his horse. And they're all lined up, ready to go. All loaded up with everything, all that takes the medical unit, everything. And Colonel says, "Stand by for the blessing." And then somebody next, "Stand by for the blessing." And the next one, firing it down the line, says, "Stand by for the blessing." You know. And then he says, and the priest says, "Hear, O Lord." The next one says, "Hear, O Lord. Hear, O Lord." And then they poke the guy that's echoing the priest, and he says, "The Father does a single on this one. You know, you don't have to echo it." And so I guess I'm doing a single only to say that may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.